Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News.
It's the Ringers Philly special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly special. Sheil Kapadia pinch potting for Chris Ryan on the Sixers show this week with Raheem Palmer. We just watched the Sixers beat the Bulls 116-91. But Raheem, you knew they weren't just going to, you know, keep playing good ball and quietly just get into the playoffs, drama free, get ready for that first round series. You knew we were going to have at least a little bit of drama down the stretch. And we got that tonight. We'll get to all of it. Embiid, Harden, what's ahead? The actual game, the good things that happened in the game. Raheem, how are you feeling this evening?
I mean, it's bittersweet, obviously. I mean, when you play the type of games that the Sixers play, I mean, at one point they were up 23-1, and they showed a, you know, bounce back fight. But then, of course, you lose Joel Embiid with a calf injury, and, you know, that kind of just, you know, puts a damper on everything, especially, you know, we're this close to the playoffs. We're in the home stretch of the NBA season. This is the time where, you know, you need us to be healthy because we've been injured going into the postseason the last 2 years. So, yeah. You know, that kind of, you know, put a damper on things.
Yeah, it's I think when we were on, me, you, and Chris talking just last week, it was like, just get those three guys, Maxi, Harden, and Embiid healthy. Anything else, let the chips fall where they may. Seeding doesn't matter. Have to play the Celtics, the Bucks, it doesn't matter. Just let's see what it looks like with those three guys healthy. And listen, we still got 10 games. Maybe they will be healthy for the start of the playoffs. But it was a weird night tonight, Raheem. You're watching the game, and the second half begins, and Paul Reed is on the court, and you're going, wait, why is Paul Reed with the starters right now? And the broadcast just, you know, says, all right, Paul Reed's in for Embiid. They don't mention anything about why Embiid's out of there. And then finally they do, and they say, you know what, Sixers were up so big. They were up, what, 28 points at halftime, 26 points at halftime, that they just decided to rest Embiid. Raheem, I've been watching basketball for, I don't know, most of my life, what, 30, 34, 35 years at this point, once I could actually decide what's going on the TV. I never saw a guy just sit out an entire second half because the coach felt like the lead was insurmountable. So we obviously knew something was up then, and then we find out after the game, mild calf injury for Joel Embiid. Doc Rivers says, not concerned, not at all, really. Felt like they could hold the lead. You hear calf and you say, that's it. You're precautionary. You're being very cautious with it. Very mild, Doc Rivers said. He said they got to go 4 hours in the air to Golden State. It was the right thing to do, but he expects Embiid to play in Golden State on Friday. I just threw a lot at you, but listen, there's always going to be a little mystery, little intrigue with these injuries. You read between the lines as well as anyone. How are you feeling about all that? What were you thinking as this unfolded tonight?
When they say a mild calf strain, I believe them. But I mean, of course, you know, like as Doc said in the press conference, anything involving a calf and its immediate shutdown, because, you know, I'm not going to say I'm an expert when it comes to calves, but, you know, last year I actually tore my calf.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the gym. I had like a grade 3 calf strain tear. I mean, it was a complete tear, honestly. So, like, I literally, like, when I tore it, I thought it was the Achilles. And, you know, with the big guy, I mean, we've seen Carl Anthony Towns. He had a calf injury, and he missed almost 2 months. So, I mean, that's how serious these calf injuries are. So, when you see a calf injury, you immediately just, especially this close to the playoffs with your franchise player who, you know, has had trouble staying healthy, I think you immediately shut it down. So, when he says mild, I actually believe him. And I just think they're being cautious, as they should.
Yeah, I think that is believable. I mean, there's a video circulating. I think John Clark posted it on Twitter where Embiid is kind of holding his calf. Now, that was with 2:22 left in the first quarter, and we saw Embiid come back in the game in the second quarter. So we don't know for sure that that's when he injured the calf, but he was playing in the second quarter. He was like point Embiid tonight, just like, you know, running the leading the break, and you know, he was really having fun with it. But then he doesn't come back out in the third quarter. So I don't know what else there is to say about it other than it's wait and see mode. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, Doc Rivers said specifically, anytime it's a calf, specifically with a guy this big, you're going to be cautious about it. But then he also mentioned, you know, we've got this long flight coming up to Golden State. And then, by the way, you've got a back-to-back Friday and Saturday, and you got 3 and 4 nights here coming up on this road trip. So I have no idea whether he's actually going to play Friday, whether he'll... I mean, it would at this point probably be a little surprising if he plays the back-to-back. Maybe you try to, if he's fine, he plays Friday and he comes back and plays against the Nuggets on Monday. I mean, just what is your gut on how much of Embiid we're going to see during the next three games as they close out this road trip?
I think we will see him against the Nuggets. I think that's, you know.
He'll want to be out there for that, yeah.
Yeah, as Chris Ryan said, that is the Super Bowl. So I think we will see him against the Nuggets. But, I mean, I think the one thing that you have to notice is that when it comes to, I mean, we're on a West Coast road trip. These are the least important games for the rest of the season, as crazy as that sounds. After the West Coast road trip, we do come home and face the Mavericks, but we got the Raptors, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Heat, the Hawks, and the Nets, all Eastern Conference teams. Those are the games that, you know, we really need to win, specifically against the Boston Celtics, specifically, you know, against the teams that we should beat up on. So I'm guessing that we'll see one of either Harden and Embiid on Friday, and then probably the other one. The one who didn't play will probably play Saturday. I think they'll stagger them. At least that's what I hope they would do. They did say Harden would be back on Friday. So I just think we're gonna be cautious to the end of the year.
Yeah, Doc said with Harden that he expects him to play Friday, but it's not guaranteed. So he's kind of leaving the door open to go either way, but also indicating that, no, he hasn't been ruled out for Friday. He hasn't been ruled out for this road trip. So it'll just be Friday. We'll see what happens, and we'll see who's on the court, or we'll see if they announce it a few hours before the game. So it was a strange one because, yeah, I'm watching it going, all right, I'm pinch potting here for Chris. What are we going to talk about? And then they go up 23-1, and I'm going, all right, it's kind of a snoozer of a game. Let me brainstorm some bigger picture topics. And then all of a sudden, every Sixers fan is panicking in the third quarter because really there wasn't a lot of communication via the broadcast, via anything else. And remember, when they first announced something through the team, it wasn't the calf. It was, he's just, you know, they have a big lead. That's why he's not in there. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm seeing this video from John Clark. And then next thing you know, yes, calf tightness. That's why he's out. So I don't know what was going on with the communication there. It certainly led to some panic among Sixers fans. And it could be justified panic. It might be not justified panic. He might be out there Friday and he might go 35-15 and they beat the Warriors in Golden State. And we're all saying, all right, thank goodness that wasn't anything more serious. So we'll just have to see about that. All right, let's get into the game a little bit. I mean, there was a game played. They won 116-91. They come out, you know, If you went to get a drink and came back, they were up 17-0, 23-1. I think the Bulls cut it to 12, I want to say, at one point. But I don't think they ever got it back in single digits, really, once the Eagles, once the Sixers went up there. See, old habits, man. A lot of Eagles pods here. So once the Sixers took that lead, it never got back down to single digits. What did you see from them tonight? Obviously, Melton, Maxey, Tobias Harris, they had to rely on kind of a different cast of characters with James Harden not in there, McDaniel not in there, and then Embiid not in there in the second half. What stood out with them for you tonight?
I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, this team shot the three ball well. I mean, like, when you look at that first game, they really struggled to shoot the ball. I think in the first game, what were they, 10 of 36 for 27%? They actually made more threes in the first quarter than they did the whole game. So, I mean, we were on fire from behind the arc, you know, 16 to 37. And, I mean, this is kind of what I expected in the first game, to be honest with you. But it was, like, very, like, reminiscent of what we saw last week against Miami. They come out flat in the first home game against Miami offensively. And in the second game, they absolutely put it on Miami. So, it's just, you know, sometimes your offense doesn't show up. And I think if there's one thing I could say about this two-game duplex series is that our defense really showed up the entire time. And we really put the pressure on them tonight. I mean, you had, like, as Doc said in the presser, you know, Tyrese Maxey picking them up full court. So they really couldn't get much going offensively. So, I mean, what do you have with the Bulls tonight? They just had a 96 offensive rating. So, I mean, we do have an elite half court defense. And I think that's the one thing that we've seen all year. And when you can stop teams from getting out in transition, I mean, this team is scary.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they were on such a run offensively until that last Bulls game. And then that was one of their worst offensive performances of the season. And you're going, all right, is this just one bad game, or is this going to actually lead to something? And it didn't lead to anything. I mean, they bounce right back and play a terrific offensive game. You mentioned it just in the second quarter when I'm watching it, you're just like, yeah, they really can shoot the ball. I mean, they've got guys. It's not always the same guy every night. There are sometimes one guy slumping, someone else has to step up, but, like, they've got enough options where you feel good about someone being able to hit some threes on any given night. And the ball was moving in the first half. I mean, Embiid had 7 assists in the first half. I think they assisted on 23 of 26 baskets. They shot 62% in the first half. And so that's how you want to see a team respond. After you lose a double overtime game that you say, all right, you really, you know, that's a game you probably should win. I think they were only, 1.5-point favorites tonight. So it's not like they were heavy favorites on the road against this Bulls team, and they just come out and they take care of business. So they've just been on a tear. I mean, you hear all these stats since December 1st, since January 1st. I mean, they've just been a really good team this year, and certainly once Harden and Maxey came back healthy, they've gotten there as well. So you're right about the defense. I mean, the defense, I think last time we talked, it was, is this more of an offensive team, and do they need the how much do they need the defense? But the defense has certainly played well here in the last two games. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk a little bit more about James Harden. I want to look ahead a little bit to what's coming for the Sixers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back on the Ringers Philly special. Anything else from this game? I mean, I thought Melton, you know, specifically played pretty well tonight. Anything else stand out to you that you wanted to get to before we move on to Harden?
Definitely PJ Tucker. I mean, you felt his presence defensively tonight. I mean, in a huge way. Obviously, we didn't have him Monday. Offensively, I mean, he's not adding that much, but I mean, I think you can feel his presence defensively when he's on the court. So I just want to give a big shout out to PJ Tucker because he's been king.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's somebody who in the playoffs, that's why you got him. You got him for the big games. I feel like his presence is being felt more and more in these games as you get later in the season there. So the role players are nice. I mean, it feels like most of these nights you're talking about a couple role players playing well or stepping up. Obviously, you have the big three, as you've alluded to on previous pods, but the role players have been huge. All right. Let's get to Harden, because this is the other injury. You know, we really could have led with this right alongside Embiid, but Harden had the sore Achilles, I think it was being termed. Missed this game, as we said, expected to play Friday, but not guaranteed. Had probably his worst game of the season in that double overtime loss to the Bulls earlier this week. 2-for-14, 0-for-6 from 3. 5 turnovers. I mean, it was just clear he didn't have it. He's played so well for them this season, and he did not show up for them in that game. So I probably should have asked you to put a number on the Embiid injury. Let's do that now. The Embiid injury, when you just look, whether it's the stretch run, the playoffs, or whatever, 10 being, oh my God, this is a complete disaster. The Sixers are done. 1 being, don't worry about it. It's all good. What's your number on the Embiid injury? And then I'm going to ask you the same thing about Harden.
I'm going to put this at a 3.
And 3 for Embiid? Okay.
And the only reason why I would probably put it as like a 1, but Embiid has like the injury history. I'm just, the fact that he came back, I mean, you saw him soar in the first quarter, and you saw him come back in the second quarter. It tells me that if this were the playoffs, or this were earlier on in the season, he would likely be playing. He probably would have played through it. But I think now, they're just being cautious. I kind of really trust Doc on this, so... It just feels like this is not a serious thing.
I think I'm with you. Yeah, I think I would go 3 or 4. Mm. Honestly, I think the messaging is what threw me off. If they would have just come out right away and said, you know what, he's got a little bit of a sore calf. He's just going to rest it here. They're up by 26. You would have said, all right, no big deal. It was just kind of the way, why is there mystery around a sore calf? You know what I mean?
You know, did you watch the ESPN broadcast, or did you watch the
I was watching the local. Yeah. Were you watching? Was it different?
I'm watching ESPN, but you know what it is? I had it on mute.
Okay. Gotcha.
So yeah. It's just like, I think I kind of missed a little bit of what, you know, what they could have possibly said. So
yeah, no, it was with the beat writers too. I mean, they were checking in on it, and mm-hmm. just like the tweets and stuff were all the same thing, that it's because they have a big lead. But I tend to agree with you. He came back, he played, it's a calf injury. You have the option to be really cautious with it. I mean, you don't want him to miss like the rest of the road trip, but if you needed to do that, like you mentioned, that's not like the end of the world. You know what I mean? You want him healthy for the playoffs. So I'm with you there. Now, where are you with the Harden injury here? Obviously, don't know if he's going to play this weekend. On a scale of 1 to 10, are you in a similar spot or more or less concerned?
This one's tough, just because, I mean, we don't have that much information about it. The one thing I will say is that Harden continued to play through the double overtime, and he didn't look good. He wasn't aggressive, and I couldn't figure out why. You know, he just wasn't looking for his shot at all. So it was like, it was clear that something was wrong. And then, you know, we saw after the game, you know, you pulled up clips from the first half where you could see he got a little banged up. But the fact that Doc says that he could be potentially ready by Friday, I'm going to put this one at about... But he doesn't know for sure. I'm going to put this one at about a 5. I think this is kind of scary, because I just think James Harden is like, Embiid is our best player, but I think James Harden might be our most important. And I say that because in the postseason, you know, you can deny a center the ball, but James Harden is our best playmaker. And he's our best playmaker, and he's going to need to score the ball. So he's going to need to he's not shouldering the load that Embiid is doing in terms of scoring and defense, but Harden's going to have the ball in his hands. So I'm concerned. I'm going to put this at a 5.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, just because we saw, I mean, I don't know how much the hamstring injury had to do with how he played, like, you know, last year or whatever, but we kind of saw what that looked like, and it wasn't good. And then this year, it's just been so nice to see. I mean, he's been fantastic for them this year. There's no doubt about it. He's exceeded any expectation anyone could have had for him for how he was going to play. And so it would be a real shame if we're talking about a second round playoff exit. And part of the reason why is because, man, James Harden, you know, injured the Achilles late in the season in March. And you're right, he played for that was a little weird. I mean, I don't know when they knew about the injury, but looking back on it, like, what did he play, 47 minutes or something? Like, shoot, did we need to be playing James Harden 47 minutes if he was injured somewhere in there? I don't know.
At some point, we got to ask what's going on with the coaching staff, with the medical staff. If,
yeah.
I mean, like, everybody has analytics departments. We're always talking about load management. We're always talking about, you know, player safety and keeping these guys healthy. And we have our two star players get injured and they continue to play. So, I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're pointing to that as a positive with Embiid, but they really could have been even more cautious. I mean, he's grabbing the calf and going to the sideline. Right there, you could have just shut it down and said, all right, you're good for the night, win or lose here. They didn't do that. But yeah, James Harden played 47 minutes in that double overtime game on Monday, which is wild. And I'm just looking at the box score, 47 minutes, and was very clearly injured. So we'll see what he looks like. I mean, again, you just... Like, even if they stay the three seed, it's all good. Just get those guys healthy for the postseason run. But, man, they've been – I was just looking at kind of – I like the cleaning the glass when you can just look at kind of the game log and see the different, you know, points per possession, the percentiles. They had 10 straight above-average offensive games before that game on Monday against the Bulls. That was the first time all season. I think they were 65th percentile, and this is compared to league-wide, 65th percentile or higher for 10 straight games. Like, that is an impressive stretch, and now they get right back to it tonight here. It's 11 out of 12 games, and I'm with you on the Harden playmaking, because, like, you watched that game tonight, and yeah, they were in full control. If that were a tighter game, like if the Bulls were scoring a little bit more or hitting some shots, there were probably would have been some more possessions where you're, you know, Maxey, there were times where I was like, all right, Maxey's taking some high degree of difficulty shots here. The shot clock is winding down to one or zero. You know, Niang hits the one three-pointer, but it certainly doesn't work as well, or is not as orchestrated, or feels like there's what's the word I'm looking for? Not a format, but you know what I'm saying, like a direction. There's you can see it out there with Harden. So it definitely looks different with Maxey, right? Like, he can handle it for stretches, but you need Harden out there if it's gonna function the way it's functioned for the last 10 games in the last few months.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, but I think, you know, the fortunate thing is that, you know, when Harden's not out there, Tobias can slide into a more natural role for him. I mean, we've spoken at length about this, but Tobias Harris is really overqualified for the role that he's in. He's more suited to being, you know, a guy who can isolate and get his own shot. And, you know, he's kind of regulated to being a spot-up shooter when James Harden is out there. Now, of course, you have other guys like PJ Tucker or, you know, or Daniel House who kind of are dependent on James Harden. But, you know, a guy like Tobias Harris, he can go out there and get his own shot. So that's the beauty of how deep this roster is. I think we saw in the first game, Tyrese was asked to do a little bit too much down the stretch, and you saw him forcing shots. I think he kind of got away from that tonight, which was a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they were running. It reminded me of like the 90s Sixers with the Bulls with Tobias at points tonight. They're just like, post up Tobias. All right, kick it out. Repost. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm watching when I was like 7 years old watching these Sixers teams. But yeah, no doubt about it. He was right there. Structure was the word I was looking for. There's a more of a structure, it feels like, when Harden's in there with his playmaking, with his decision-making. So we'll see if he is back this weekend. All right, they've won seven in a row on the road, Raheem. I mean, they had won eight straight. Now they've won what, 9-1 in their last 10 games. This upcoming stretch, Warriors on Friday, Suns on Saturday in a back-to-back, Nuggets on Monday. I mean, they've only got 10 games left. They've still got Milwaukee and Boston. Now, this kind of goes against what we've talked about so far, because we've been like, just keep them healthy, playoffs. At the same time, you're what, a game back of the Celtics right now, and you still get to play the Celtics? Like, how big of a carrot is that dangling where you're saying, man, I would feel differently about this team if they were the two seed and potentially had Boston at home for that second round series versus you have to go to Boston in the second round? Is that like a huge difference for you in your opinion of whether they can get by them or not really?
You know, so interesting. There's only like seven teams in the NBA with winning road records. And they're the Sixers, the Celtics, the Kings, the Bucks, the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers. I mean, these teams are teams are just not winning on the road this season, and particularly in the West, where, you know, the Kings are the only team with a winning record on the road. And, you know, a lot of these teams don't have positive net ratings on the road either. So it's, I think home court is really going to matter this year. And it would be, not, I mean, the Celtics are experienced. They've been to multiple Eastern Conference Finals with this core. They're coming off the NBA Finals. I do think home court is going to matter a little bit, even though, you know, the Celtics, they, I think they've proven that they kind of, they can kind of beat you anywhere, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. The Celtics are 26-9 at home, which is, man, that's tough. 24-14 on the road. Hey, Sixers have a fantastic road record now. 23-12 on the road, 26-11 at home. Like I said, they're a half a game back of the Celtics. Now, if it's tied, Celtics are obviously going to get the tiebreaker. So it's you know, it's really more than just half a game. But like, you get to play them once more, so you get to pick up a game if you win that one. So we'll see if they get up there to the 2 seed or whether they settle in there at the 3 seed. You are our you know, gambling man, odds. You know all this. I was just looking at the odds today. Sixers are plus 480 to make the finals, which equates to, I believe, with and you might have more information on this, but I just like looking at like the implied odds calculators that are available online. So I think that equates to like a 17.2% chance to get this, to get to the finals, not to win the championship. They're behind the Bucks and the Celtics. Just as someone who runs models and looks at all this stuff and likes looking at the analytics, does that feel right to you, seem right to you, plus 480, 17.2%? Or do you feel like you like them better or worse than that to get to the finals?
Well, I mean, 538 actually has the Sixers at 28% chance to make the final. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what they have them at. I mean, and me personally, honestly, I just, when I look at this Sixers team, I think they're a legit contender.
Yeah.
And the only roadblock to me is the Boston Celtics. I actually think that they would probably be favorites over anybody else except for the Bucks or the Celtics. And then I think the Bucks series, they're probably short underdogs. So to me, like, I think the 17% is a little bit low.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's even come down. Like, I think I looked last week and it was, they were worse than plus 480, right? Like that those odds have improved, I think, in the last week or so. I'm with you. Listen, this team, I know we've talked about the injuries and, you know, the panic level, but just, if we just zoom out, this team has just felt different this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been more resilient. They have more options. They are the best shooting three-point team in the NBA. They are the best shooting free throw team, free throw percentage team in the NBA. They've got multiple playmakers in Harden and Maxey. They've got the MVP favorite now in Embiid. Like, yeah, so you listen to like some other people talk about when a team plays the Sixers and it's like they had no answer for Embiid. I mean, I would ask you, like, what team has an answer for Embiid? I mean, I don't know that there is one. Is there a team out there that you say, I mean, is it the Celtics where you say, all right, they can match up well with Embiid? Or even with that, is it just kind of, they can take away the other stuff, they can score on you probably, and it's not really Embiid related?
I don't think anybody has an answer for Embiid at this point. You know, I think in the past you could say, you know, Al Horford was the guy who can kind of slow up Embiid. But I just don't see it this year. I mean, this year against the Celtics, Embiid's averaging 31 points and 11 rebounds and 3 assists. So it's just, I'm just not seeing it. And then even when you look at him against the Bucks, I mean, the Bucks do have two guys that they can throw at Embiid. I mean, you have Brooke Lopez and you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, but you know, outside of the first game against the season, he's put up 32 and 31 points. And then obviously he hit the pretty much the game winning three against the Bucks in the last time they played on that Saturday night game. So yeah. I just don't see anybody slowing down Embiid individually. I think the issue is going to be, can we get stops? That's my biggest issue with the Sixers is, can we get stops for other teams? Can we stop other teams from getting out in transition? Because I know Embiid is going to bring his 30 points per game.
Yeah, he's going to bring that, and I feel like the defense has stepped up a little bit. You know, there's only so much one man can do throughout the course of a game, so I feel like there have been times this year where you watch it and say, all right, Embiid's not the same defensively as maybe he has been in previous years, but even it feels like that has ramped up a little bit here, and that it feels like that can be something you can count on here for the playoffs. Right now on FanDuel, minus 150 to win MVP for those who are still keeping track of that, which is probably many of you. Jokic is plus 230, and Giannis is plus 270.
The one thing I can say is that you almost have to wonder if this calf injury hurts Joel's chances down the stretch, because it seems as though Joel has taken the lead. But for large parts of the season, Jokic was he was seen as the guy. What do you think? Do you see if Joel can't finish the season strong, Jokic is still alive?
He's still alive. Listen, we saw the swings, like you mentioned. I mean, it was as recently as 2 weeks ago. These were not the odds. So a lot can happen in the course of 10 games. I mean, if it's a situation where Embiid is missing significant time, which again, it does not sound like that's what it's going to be, but you never know. You know, you have a strained calf and then you go to shoot around on Friday and something happens and all of a sudden you're missing time. Like, we know that can happen. So that's not what we think is going to happen right now, but it's possible. And then the other thing is what you mentioned. I mean, these are high profile games coming up. And so if you're not 100% and you're not playing as well and you're facing the Warriors and the Suns and the Nuggets and the Celtics and the Bucks, and you don't look like the guy you've looked like for the entirety of the season, and then, you know, Jokic finishes strong, or even Giannis. I mean, I wouldn't count, with the way the Bucks have been playing, you can't even rule him out of this either. I mean, he's at plus 270, so you can't rule that out. So, yeah, that would just be, man, that would be a dagger for Sixers fans if it ended that way. You just want to see him healthy and playing well. So, I mean, how do you feel about it, right? I don't think it's over, but by any means, there's still 10 games left.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the first thing I thought of. And it just feels like this kind of happens every year with Joel Embiid, where it's like he takes the lead and he's in the home stretch and then he suffers an injury. So I'm hoping it's different this year, because I would really like to see him finish the season strong. Seems like he's really taking the lead in terms of MVP, but he's got to finish out the season strong.
I mean, it seems dumb to say, but there probably is a lot riding on that game Monday. I mean, if he's, you know, it's the two guys, they're going head to head. Embiid had the performance earlier this season. If he does it again, you know, and voters are saying, hey, it's close, that's going to matter. And that's going to be a lasting impression as well in that head to head matchup. I feel like there's a lot that the Sixers have to weigh. So let's finish with this. Your boy Glenn calls you up, you know, he says, Raheem, I've been a closet fan of your work for a long time. I know you don't call me Doc, you call me Glenn, but it's all good. You know, he says, I got a lot to weigh here. You know, I want to get that two seed because, you know, as you so eloquently put it on the wonderful Ringer Philly special pod, home court advantage is probably going to matter. So I want to get my guys out there and I want to get that two seed. At the same time, I want these guys to be healthy for the playoffs. Joel, James Harden, what do I do here? How cautious should I be? And, you know, he tells you, hey, both these guys could play, but they're like not 100%. You know, they're probably somewhere in like that 80-85% range. And so they can play in these games at the same time. A little extra rest would never hurt before the postseason. Glenn says, Raheem, give me some guidance here, my friend. What should I do?
I think you have to prioritize health. I think that's the bottom line. We've been hurt last two seasons going into the postseason. This is a critical year. I mean, obviously, James Harden is a free agent. I'm kind of looking at this like the last dance with this crew. We've heard some rumors about James Harden wanting to go back to Houston. Yeah. If we don't get it done now, I mean, it's now or never. And, you know, in today's NBA, it's not like the days where, you know, you had a guy under a 7-year contract and they're just willing to play out the deal. Things are a lot different. Things move a lot faster. You know, there's been rumors out there that Joel Embiid might want to go somewhere else. And I think a lot is going to be based on how we do in the postseason. So you want to prioritize health, give ourselves the best chance to go into the playoffs with the chance to win. And we don't have a chance to win if we're not healthy. So I think, you know, whether we finish in the two or the three, I just want to be healthy.
I agree 100%, especially this version of this team where it feels different. It feels like that ceiling is higher than it's been maybe in previous years. Like you said, who knows what next year looks like? I mean, even if Harden's back, Harden's another year older, injuries happen. PJ Tucker's another year older, and Embiid has been healthy. Mild calf strain aside, he's been healthy this season, has looked great this season, is playing better than he ever has before. He's a different version of the player we've seen. He's come up with answers for how to score, how to be even more efficient offensively. So yeah, I'm there too. I mean, listen, if you have to go to Boston, and Boston is going to have the home court in the second round, I know we're looking ahead here, but so be it. You know, I think you have the talent. You're not going to be favored in that series, but you have the talent to be able to pull off the upset. It's not going to be like some of these previous years where if you're a Sixers fan, you go in with dread, expecting worst case scenario. Like, I do think you're going to have a different mindset going into these playoff series as long as those three guys are healthy. So I think you gave Glenn some good advice there. Let's see how he handles it. Listen, it's going to be a fun Friday to Monday for this team. You know, we'll see. We'll learn a lot about who's healthy, who's injured, if they're playing, how healthy are they? Are they 100%? I mean, if they just come out, can you imagine if Embiid and Harden both play Friday and they go to Golden State, who has been great at home, and beat the Warriors? Then you're on cloud nine if you're a Sixers fan. And of course, there's the other side of that, which I don't even need to mention. You can use your imagination. So Chris will be back with Raheem next week to talk about it. I'm going to keep rotating in, jumping in on some Sixers talk. Cliff and I are going to be back in like 11 hours to do a Phillies preview. They're opening the season a week from probably when you listen to this. It's going to be Phillies opening their season as well. So Raheem, any closing thoughts? Did I miss anything? I'm not as good of a host as Chris. I've listened to Chris.
Nah, it's all good. Okay. I think you're just as good as Chris. And that's no slight to Chris. I think, you know, everybody here at the Ringer Network is extremely talented. And it's just a pleasure to work with everybody. So, you know, I'm excited for the Philly season though. I have some thoughts.
They're not the
best. They're not the best thoughts. But I have some thoughts. I have more excitement, but it's just tough for me just because unfortunately, I think the Braves are the team to beat in the National League East. I wish we had Harper healthy for the whole season. I think that's the one thing that's kind of scaring me. I'm waiting. I think we're going to go on a run in the second half of the season. I think I'm looking for a price on the Phillies. Like, I'm expecting kind of like a run like we had last year, where it's just like we're gonna get into the wild card, and I think we'll be scary.
It's what the market suggests. I mean, they're third in the NL East at plus 340. The Braves are plus 100. The Mets are plus 170. So, you know, the markets do not disagree with you there. And it could certainly play out the way you said. I do think this is going to be like, and we'll get more into this in the next episode. I think it's just going to be a fun season where you're just, you know, one of those kind of night in and night out. You're excited to watch this team. Now you know the players a little bit more. You feel a connection with them because of how last year ended there. They get Trey Turner. So I think it's going to be an exciting, fun season. You're right, though. It's not going to be one where they're running away with the NL East from start to finish. At least I don't think it's going to be one of those seasons. So we'll see. I'm excited. What a time. What a year to launch the Ringers Philly special. Eagles go to the Super Bowl. Phillies go the World Series. We get a fun Sixers team here. There's going to be action with everybody here next week. So we will continue.
You know what's so funny? I didn't realize this, but it's just like the Philadelphia Union, the soccer team,
they went
to the championship too.
Yeah.
And then you, nobody's talking about this, but the USFL launched last year. And like, they're not playing any games at home. But the Philadelphia team went to the championship and lost to the championship too.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that. The Union, I knew. The Union, I went to a game, and the Union, I watched the finals. The championship game was awesome against LA, but I didn't even know that about the USFL.
Yeah, it's
the
Philadelphia Stars. They went to the championship as well. Okay. Like, nobody's mentioning them. I mean, I guess, you know, the USFL is just one of those sports. Like, there's so many football leagues now. There's USFL, there's XFL, like... I think the NFL is going to have to buy one of these leagues and just make it a legit minor league.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all due respect to everybody who plays in those, and if you watch it, more power to you. Once the Super Bowl's over, I'm like, all right, I'm good till so I'll see everyone.
Yeah, same here.
I don't need to be watching more games in March and April. So hopefully those leagues can last. I know it's good for the players, and some people really like it. But yeah, I wasn't grinding the USFL tape. So don't get on us about not having Philly. If we have a Philadelphia Stars weekly show, I'll tell you who's hosting it. It's the man I'm talking to right now, Raheem, because he's the only one.
Oh, it would not be me. It won't be me. But I say that to say that I just hope that, you know, there's just Philadelphia Magic in here. With all these teams going to the championship, we gotta get one. And I'm hoping it's the Sixers.
it's gonna be exciting. We're gonna have NBA playoffs, we're gonna have Philly season, we're gonna have NFL draft all in the month ahead. All right, thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to Raheem, thanks to Cliff Augustine, our ace producer. We'll be back soon on this feed. Thank you for listening to the Ringers Philly Special.